Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, happy Thursday, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. For those of you who are in the LA area, the guest call-in number is 424-258-9337. And for everybody else, including everyone here in the beautiful, albeit a little bit damp, San Francisco Bay Area, the toll-free number is 877-697-9725. And as always, my resident goddess of efficiency, Kina, is manning the chat room, and she will also be taking your calls. So, this episode is kind of an interesting one because an old story sort of popped up in my head at one point, and I call it a pony under the pile. And this is based on an old story slash joke about parents who had this child who was just optimistic enough to make you want to smack with a bag of oranges. And he was always looking at the bright side. He was always optimistic and up, and everything was beautiful. And the parents were very worried that this child would grow up and just be a victim because they couldn't see anything from the perspective of anything bad. So it was Christmas time. And they decided that they would take all of the child's Christmas presents away. And they would leave, in place of the presents, a huge pile of horse manure. And they figured that this would disappoint the child and that the kid would learn that life isn't always great and always wonderful. So, you know, Christmas Eve, the little boy went to bed and the parents came and just, you know, a pile taller than the child. So the child came down Christmas morning and the parents were waiting. And instead of hearing a cry of disappointment, they heard a shriek of joy. And they saw the little boy run to the pile and start digging feverishly at it. And they said, "What are you doing?" And he looked up with a huge smile on his face and said, "Well, with this much horse manure, there's got to be a pony under here." So the moral of the story is just let the tremendously optimistic alone. And when we think about the idea that you could look at a pile of manure and somehow believe with all your heart that there's something tremendously cool underneath it, one, that's actually a tremendous gift. And while I understand, coming from the perspective that we all need to be able to balance, you know, the good stuff with the bad stuff. My parents had an old saying, prepare for the worst, then hope for the best. So the idea that if you take every measure that you can think of to cover anything that could possibly mess up, then once you've done that, you can just say, okay, I'm going to go on the theory that I don't need that and that everything's going to work out just fine according to the original plan. Even though in most cases we know that that's not how it works a lot of the time. And sometimes it works a little bit different from the plan because there's something in it for us. There's a hidden gift. Because maybe the idea of looking at some of those negative things that happen to us from the perspective that, you know what, this is lousy, this is horrible, but somewhere underneath there is a gift that's going to make all this worthwhile. And that's a really important way of being that can really make those bumpy and hard places in life a little bit more tolerable and a little bit more gentle with ourselves. Because, you know, a situation is going to be what it's going to be. And in many cases, whether it's a good situation or a bad situation is totally based on what our perspective is on it. And I've used this reference before where, you know, let's say there was a party you didn't want to go to, and right before leaving, you know, you found out that, you know, the friend who was going to drive you, their car broke down, so they couldn't get you. Now, if you didn't want to go to the party, that's a wonderful thing. That's like, oh, gee, sorry, it turns out we're going to miss it. And you're like, oh, gee, that's too bad, while, you know, doing your little, you know, jig of happiness, you know, while you're on the phone. But if it turned out it was a party that you really wanted to go to, the exact same situation happens, it's devastating and it's hard and it may even be heartbreaking. So the idea of viewing those events in our lives and thinking, okay, what is the gift that could be coming from this? What is that pony under the pile? Maybe it's that you learned something that you needed to learn. And, you know, if we could really learn stuff from only happiness and wonderful things, then, you know, Disneyland would be, you know, one of the most spiritual places on earth. Oh, boy, I'm happy. I'm having fun. Oh, wow. You know, I've learned this deep life lesson. While it is possible, most of the time, the stuff we learn the most from is the stuff that either we do not want to happen again, or it's, you know, just one of those really hard things that, as a friend of mine referred to it, as the big fat B-whiff, where you're stuck. You just have to go through it. You have to make your way through it and somehow figure, okay, you know, there's a light at the end of this tunnel that's going to show me that this was a positive thing in my life. So think about some of those piles versus the ponies. You know, think about, you know, it may be that you may have lost a job. You may have lost a relationship. You may have been mistreated in some way or unjustly, you know, had an accusation sent to you that ended up you had to deal with the consequences of. You know, maybe something happened to someone that you care about. And all those things that, you know, really build up that pile. So let's take a job change. You know, maybe, you know, you had a job and there was a big layoff. That is a really hard thing. It is, you know, the deep and stinky, especially with the economy the way it is. And you find out, oh, my God, you know, I got laid off. Well, maybe that was a job you really didn't like. Maybe it was something that was keeping you from moving on into something that is your passion. And it may be that the absolute perfect job is going to be the one that you're able to find because you are no longer tied to that. The idea of losing a home, which many, many, many folks are going through that, whether it's through a natural occurrence like what happened with Hurricane Sandy, or it could be through financial issues that come up. There's a lot of reasons that people can lose their stuff. And yes, we are very attached to our stuff. I have stuff that I'm attached to. I'm not attached to as much as I used to be, but still, there's stuff that I like and that I really feel that, you know, we should all have a little bit of attachment to some of our stuff because that's why they're important to us. It's not just, well, that's my stuff. It's like, well, no, that's my stuff, and here's the story that's attached to it. And the idea of losing our stuff, it creates a feeling of not being safe. It creates that sense of vulnerability, whether it's through a fire that happened, whether it's through a natural event, whether it's through finances. It means that our stuff is not ours anymore. And that can be really a massive, massive thing to go through and tremendously traumatizing. And it's kind of tough to start looking for that pony in that type of situation. Oh, really? This is going to serve me. Oh, really? Yeah, I don't know where me and my family are going to sleep tonight. But, hey, you know, this, where's the pony in that? And it's tough. And it's challenging. And maybe the idea of letting go of those things is moving you to something bigger and something better. And maybe it's not going to happen right away. And maybe there's a piece of patience and just commitment to being in the moment. An attachment to our stuff is neither good or bad. Like everything else, it has light and shadow to it. So if somebody says, well, you shouldn't be attached to anything, we should be spiritual beings, and we should be able to walk away from anything and everything in any given moment. Okay, that is a way of being, and there are many philosophies in the world that are completely in alignment with that. And generally, we like our stuff, at least some of our stuff. That's very important. When you take that philosophy of lack of attachment really to that higher level, it's you're not even attached to the people in your life. That ultimately you are prepared to just move on at any given time without looking back. Once again, that is very cool if that is what resonates with you. If that is where you want to be, I celebrate your ability to be there because I couldn't. I have studied many spiritual philosophies, and I've embraced many, and there were some, not so much. It's about finding what works for you. And if you like the idea of viewing all the events in your life as that cool pony underneath the pile of horse manure, then go forth and enjoy it. Don't let anybody take that from you. Because there's a lot of folks who really feel it's their obligation to have you see reality. And I will use the term reality very grudgingly, because reality also comes from what is your perspective. Some people think that the idea that, okay, if this person cannot see how unhappy and mean-spirited and unforgiving the world can be and people can be, then that means that they're going to be vulnerable to being taken advantage of. That means that they're not going to see the world, so that means they're, you know, not going to see and be able to prepare for all of those things that could go wrong. There's nothing with preparing for, well, shall we say, unforeseen developments and things like making sure that you have some emergency supplies. I mean, even if it's just some extra water, some canned food, batteries. I mean, we're not talking about building your bunker and, you know, having it stocked with 5 years worth of food and ammunition for when the zombies attack. And, oh, by the way, make sure you have a zombie plan. FEMA has one. Look it up. So you don't have to become fixated on all the things that could go wrong. And sometimes when you're a very optimistic person, you tend to take a little bit of flack, especially if you go along the theory. It's like, well, you know what? I trust that the universe is going to take care of me. You want to trigger a whole load of people telling you how bad life can be, you express that thought, and you will be amazed at how many people try to convince you that you need to take care of yourself because you cannot trust the universe to take care of you. And it's important to keep a balance on it. I accept that ultimately the universe is going to make sure I'm okay until such time as I'm not supposed to be. And when I am not okay, I trust that the universe will somehow align itself to take care of me until either, one, the universe presents something that will pull me out of it, or two, that I figure out what I need to do to take care of that. And that's an important piece because sometimes we have to be with the pile. We've got to be dealing with it. And the universe, and understand whatever your religious beliefs are, I honor them, and I use the phrase the universe, or sometimes I'll say creator. This in no way detracts from anyone's spiritual practices, so please just enter the phrase or term that works with you. So when you look at the universe deciding that, you know what, this person needs to go through this in order to grow into something else, in order to grow into something better. And that's really hard to see when you're standing in front of a pile. And it's really hard to think that somewhere under that pile is something cool, because we don't want to get our hands dirty. Because maybe we dig into that pile and we reach the center of it and it turns out there's no pony. Now, in that joke/story about the little boy, they never quite say what happens after he digs through it and doesn't find the pony. So taking the story to the next level, okay, let's say, you know, the little boy dives through and the parents go, okay, eventually he's going to figure out that there's no pony there. Maybe the kid goes to the heart of it and says, wow, there is no pony. All this is a big pile of horse manure. Wow, that's not very empowering. Maybe they'll get angry. Or maybe the kid will look up and go, wow, I've got a ton of great fertilizer, so that I'm going to go out and plant, you know, my garden, and maybe I'll even grow wheat and fertilize it with this horse manure, because that way I'll have the wheat to feed the pony that I eventually know is going to be given to me. So where you go with it is really up to you. And each pile is different and unique. And no, there may not be a pony under it, but there is something there that is of value. There is something there that can be turned into energy that can move forward and create something else. Maybe all those seeds that you planted just need a little bit of fertilizer to have them come into blossom. And when we look at all the things and all the people in our lives that either they support the fact that there's a pony there and will stand by you and say, you know what, you can do this. Go for it. You do that. You know, I'm behind you 100%. I believe that you can, you know, turn this into something positive. Or you're going to deal with the folks who say, see, told you, just don't hope, don't set the bar too high, just stay in this nice little medium. I had a friend who would use the phrase, well, I'm not unhappy. And it was really interesting when you asked somebody, well, are you happy? Well, I'm not unhappy. And I'd be willing to bet everybody out there knows someone who says stuff like this. And when someone just acknowledges, well, I'm not unhappy, I'm not too happy, I'm in this nice neutral place where there are no extremes. And there's nothing wrong with that if that works for them. Figure out what works for you. Maybe you have 10 piles and 9 of them have no pony. And then you get to that 10th one, and my God, there's a pony. And apparently it's got some bowel disorders because it left, you know, 9 other huge piles. But that's a different show. So, again, talking about ponies' digestive systems. But when you can keep looking through the piles, maybe it isn't that one, but maybe it's the next one. I remember I reached a place in my life that was very challenging for me, and it was really hard, and I was taking care of a lot of different people, and frankly, all I saw was the pile. There were no ponies, and all I saw was one pile after another that would just seem that they just led on forever. Disappointments, challenges, things that just tested everything about my spirit. And I remember that one night I went to bed and I just said, if there is a compassionate God anywhere that cares anything for me, please see to it that I don't wake up. I'm done. I mean, I wasn't going to actively do anything to harm myself, but I had just reached a place where I said, look, I'm done. I can't fight anymore. I don't want to be here. So if I could go to bed tonight and not wake up in this body tomorrow, that would be fine with me. And in that moment, I meant it with all my heart. Fatigue can do that to you. Despair can do that to you. And as I laid there and just wanted to just stop being, it's almost like this little voice came in and it said, but something really cool is going to happen tomorrow. And if you leave now, you're going to miss it. And it seemed that it was the hardest thing to hear. It's like, really? What? You know, the person who I care about, who is going through terminal cancer, is going to be spontaneously cured. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and there's going to be, you know, a sack of money out there so I can afford to fly this person to the best doctors in the world or at least hire some help. What is going to be this great thing? And it was just this very gentle thought. You can't go because something cool is going to happen tomorrow and you'll miss it. So I went to sleep. And then I woke up and I went through that day thinking, you know, what's this cool thing that's going to happen? And by the end of the day, you know, I was sitting in bed and I thought to myself, well, actually, it was kind of a cool day because the person who I care for actually had a good day and I was able to rest and they didn't need me right then. And my sons had a good day and the other people who I take care of had a good day. So it was actually a day that I could just take a breath. And I realized how cool that was. And then the next night when I went to bed, I thought, whoever you are, whatever you are, thank you. But what do I do tomorrow? And I heard back this gentle voice, you got to be here tomorrow because something cool is going to happen and you'd miss it. And through that, I figured out every day has the opportunity for something cool to happen. And yes, it may not happen that day. And so I started saying when I go to bed, it's like, well, tomorrow something cool is going to happen. And I don't want to miss it. That was my pony. Just the thought that something cool could happen. And if I give up, I'll miss it. To believe that, you know, maybe a pony is not under this pile, but there's probably one under the next one. And if it's not there, maybe the next one. But when you can find that thing that when the times get bad and when they get hard, and yes, they will, to hold on to that one thing that you can say, you know what? I don't want to miss that. I don't even want to take the chance of missing that. And I can look forward to my life moving forward. I don't even have to understand why that bad thing that happened, why it was important, what was the lesson. Because at some point, the lesson will make itself clear. At some point, it kicks in. At some point, I get it. At some point, we all get it. And it may take a while. But remember, something cool is always happening. Something cool could always happen. And we can't get so wrapped up in the pile of horse manure that we forget that. I wish for all of you to be able to find that pony, whatever it is, however it works for you, even if it's just the thought that something cool is going to happen and you don't want to miss it. And if you're so busy staring at the pile, you don't look around and you won't miss it. Or you don't look around and you will miss it. So thank you, everyone, for listening. I thank all of you who are going to listen to me on archives. That's awesome. And I wish each and every person the opportunity to be able to slow down at least a little bit during this busy holiday season and figure out what is that cool thing that you don't want to miss. Because if it didn't happen today, it could happen tomorrow. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And I've got a lot of stuff coming up, and I hope that each and every person here listening has a chance to go over to my website at www.the-healing-house.com. You will have an opportunity to see some of the stuff that's going on, see the services that I offer. And for those of you who are in the area, hey, I'd love to have you swing by and say hello. Also, we're going to be listing up a calendar of events and speaking events that I'm doing. And if you feel that you would like to contact me and maybe have me come out to where you are, speak with your group, or if you would like to have a one-on-one consultation, we can even Skype, which I think is tremendously cool, even though I still think elves make it work. But we can set up one-on-one time if you would like to talk to me about things that are going on in your life, maybe something that you figured that maybe you'd like another perspective on. So we are opening up that opportunity. And you can reach me at dr.eileen, A-Y-L-E-E-N, at the-healing-house.com. And you can shoot me out an email and just let's have some fun. So I will let you know that on December 16th, I will be doing a service here in San Jose at the Center for Creative Living, and it's their Sunday service. And if you have church anxiety, believe me, this place is different from pretty much most of the others. So it's a really fun place with some really loving, wonderful people. It's non-denominational, and it's just a place of loving acceptance of all kinds of different ways of being. So I'm going to be discussing the winter solstice, and I will be doing it from the druidic perspective, because for those of you who know and for those of you who don't, well, mostly for those of you who don't, I am a druid. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to be talking about the whole process of what does it mean to kind of turn that cycle in your life and reaching out when the winter solstice is considered the darkest night of the year, and after that, the sun becomes stronger. So it's letting go of that old stuff and stepping up into this new sunlight. So thank you for listening. We will see you next week, and I wish you all blessings. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio, and I wish everyone a wonderful week and lots of ponies. Take care. Bye-bye.